Okay, everyone?
Yep.
Right. I know it's a bit dark in here. Let's hope that you're going to look at the screen and you're going to listen to me and not take advantage of the perfect conditions for a good nap. So, do you give me permission to call you out by name if you happen to fall asleep? Not as a criticism, but just to... Yeah? Okay, that's great. Chris, I've got my eyes on you. Brilliant. So, welcome to the fourth and last presentation from the series that Robin and I have been given from April, May, June, and now July on the topic of the occult. Because we are surrounded by the occult, it's good to be informed. At least that's what we try to do. We try to inform the church about what is happening. In the end, it's you individually who make choices for your life, but at least, you know, when God will ask you, did you know about that, and why did you do it, we won't be able to say, but I didn't know. I was watching a show a couple of years back about high court enforcement officers going to addresses to get money back for the clients that have been given money in the high court. And apparently 90% of the times that they go to an address, the people living at that address will say, I knew nothing about the money I owe. And then as soon as they walk in the house, they find the letters letting them know that they owe money and that they should pay. So I think we should avoid that situation when we will be at the judgment day, trying to say, God, but we didn't know about this, we didn't know about that, while God can point to us, but you were told actually. So, yeah, so that's what we're trying to do. We are surrounded by the occult and we need to be informed. Now, why is the mass media increasingly pushing so much evil on us? Why are we being bombarded by evil, violence, and fear on all sides, forced to take it in like so much old milk, rotten meat, and bad cheese? Hollywood movies are getting more twisted, evil, and sinister. Children's video games are getting more violent, bloody, raw. Television stations are broadcasting more and more disturbing and graphic programming. Music has been getting more violent for decades. Much of it in terms of lyrics, album covers, videos, and associated artwork are clearly not giving good messages. And add that to all this poisonous evil that's force-fed to us on all the TV channels. Every day the news sound the same. 10 dead, 6 raped, 4 shot, 2 killed, 1 burned, bombs, Arab terror, hatred, race violence, corruption, mass arrests, sinking economy, gender warfare, ISIS, acid attacks in London, etc. When we watch the news, we're seeing and hearing evil all the time. We're bombarded by it. How does that make you feel? Sad, scared, nervous, angry, depressed, and so on. Satan is always trying to reach out to us in order to offer us the alternative to being faithful to God. When we fight Satan and reject his calling, then he will not say, okay, I respect your decision and I'll be out of your life, have a nice day. On the contrary, as soon as we show that we are aware of his tactics and we ask God to walk with us every day, Satan will do his best to at least keep us busy so we don't hear God's calling and become more and more distant from our Creator. Today, there is a spiritual war going on for the lives and souls of men, women, teens, and yes, children. And without the church lighting up and exposing this darkness, it continues, overtaking the unsuspecting around us. Ignorance invites misunderstanding, fear, complacency, and deception. This is why considering the enemy's vast deployment of occult traps, which range from an array of New Age self-help seminars and numerous kids' cartoons, to the world of adult and children's literature and the occult-laced lineup offered by the Hollywood as entertainment today, it is of ultimate importance that we have at least a basic understanding of what God's Word declares on the issue. To go through a short recap, we have been looking throughout this series at well-known concepts in the Christian world: hear no evil, see no evil, do no evil. But funnily enough, the origin of this concept is coming from an ancient Japanese occult icon called the Three Wise Monkeys, who were, one of them was covering its mouth, and it was speak no evil, one was covering its eyes, see no evil, and one was covering its ears, hear no evil. It was meant to represent a good person who would speak no evil, see no evil, hear no evil. This was so powerful in the occult religions that Mahatma Gandhi, who believed that earthly possessions should not be one of the principles in life and we shouldn't be owning anything, actually owned a statue with the three monkeys because he believed so strongly in the principle of the Japanese occult symbol. But in the meantime, the three monkeys were abandoned and we took the good thing out of it and we're fighting occultism with its own weapons. And what they were trying through this statue to induce into the minds of those who didn't know better, now we're using it to actually point out to the dangers of the occult world that they represent. First presentation was a general description of what occultism is and how it's being used as a tool by Satan to deceive even the chosen ones. The second presentation was a call to hear no evil. When we hear evil, it becomes part of us. Our body absorbs it like a sponge. It's like ingesting rotten food. The body can't hold it and it needs to come out. Then, see no evil. The phrase see no evil means just what it says. See no evil, or don't look upon anything that is evil. Don't look at evil, don't watch or gawk at evil, don't crave evil, don't let evil enter your system, not even for a moment. When we see evil, we digest it. When we digest it, the evil becomes part of us. We then need to release it in some way, which often has a negative result. For many, this idea that seeing evil is equivalent to digesting evil may sound like rubbish, but there is a powerful and profound principle at work here. To use a simple comparison, it's a proven fact that seeing violence in the media, TV, movies, video games, makes us think and act more violently. Literally thousands of studies since the 1950s have asked whether there is a link between exposure to media violence and violent behavior. All but 18 have answered yes. The evidence from the research is overwhelming. According to extensive research, evidence indicates that media violence can contribute to aggressive behavior, nightmares, and fear of being harmed. Watching violent shows is also linked with having less empathy toward others. That's what University of Michigan Health System has given out in a statement. Seeing violence causes us to act more violently. Similarly, when we see evil, we internalize it. And when we internalize evil, it becomes a part of us, which means eventually that evil needs to find its way out. If it does not exit, the evil wreaks havoc on our bodies and minds. Thus, the ancient directive to see no evil is a wise maxim that seeks to protect us from evil by warning us not to see it in the first place. If we were to link the first two presentations of hearing no evil and seeing no evil, then it would mean that even our speech would have no evil. This is how the ancient three monkeys were explained by the occult representatives, because in a sense, speaking no evil is an outcome of hearing no evil and seeing no evil. Because if you're not exposed to it, you're not going to express it. The evil that's being force-fed to us is much more damaging than we can imagine. It's having more of a negative effect than we realize. It's creating cancer in our bodies and in our minds. We're constantly exposed to tremendous evil, and because we don't realize the damage it's doing to us, we are not consciously trying to release it. Worse, we are willing participants in its consumption, not out of choice, but because we believe it's normal, having been born and raised into society, into this system. We don't realize it has all been purposely designed to destabilize us mentally and physically, keeping the elite in control and keeping the masses sick, suppressed, scared, and subservient. Therefore, this series that we presented over the last 3 months has been a way of pointing out a small fraction of Satan's techniques to keep us as far away from God as possible. But today's presentation is especially important because while the previous three presentations have been dealing with the topic of what we listen to and what we see that is a cult, having a third presentation on just speaking no evil like the occult monkeys would not suffice, because it doesn't address any of our actions which could contribute to the corruption of our souls. That's why today we will look at what we can do influenced by the enemy of God. As I did last time, I want to address both children and adults in this presentation, so we will be dealing with issues that concern both categories, so no one feels like the presentation hasn't been relevant to them. Let's go to a Bible passage that says this, Deuteronomy 18 verses 10 to 12. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or one who practices witchcraft, or a soothsayer, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who conjures spells, or a medium, or a spiritist, or one who calls up the dead. For all who do these things are an abomination to the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord your God drives them out from before you. What does the word abomination mean? It means a disgusting thing, an abomination, unclean, as in idolatry, and wickedness. This is the strongest condemnatory language used by God in the entire Bible. And let that sink in. In the strongest terms used in the entire Bible, God condemns and forbids the occult as he warns the Israelites to avoid and abhor it. God in his wisdom lays out 9 forbidden practices in this passage in Deuteronomy. And they are the following. First of all, human sacrifice. Do not pass your sons or your daughters through fire. Now, I don't know how many of you have attended or have heard about rituals in 2017 where parents are literally passing their sons or daughters through fire as a form of ritual of worshipping a god. It doesn't happen anymore. So, should we say that this is not relevant to us in 2017? Well, no, we can't say that. Because while we don't have parents taking their children through fire anymore, we do have parents who open their children to all sorts of practices that are the same as passing them through fire. You notice I put there a photo of Easter eggs. Yes, we encourage our children to take on and be open about so many pagan rituals that are around them that from an early age they start seeing this as being okay. And when they'll be adults and they'll have their own family, will they say no to their children when they're doing something wrong that is against God's will? No, because you taught them that it's okay. They were passed through fire in their childhood, so they will do the same thing later on. Easter eggs, Easter bunny, Santa Claus, watching cartoons on TV that have hundreds of occult illustrations inserted in the most unthinkable ways in order to make children comfortable with the occult world. If that is not modern passing through the fire, then I don't know what is. Then, The second practice that God is talking against, divination, the heart of the occult, manipulation from demonic sources. As human beings, we have an innate desire to know the future. We want to know what is coming. So we're trying to, through all sorts of supernatural agents, to find out what the future has for us. Now, that gives us the feeling that we control the situation, that we have power, that because we know that something is going to happen, then we are above the situation. But if we know the future, can we change the future? Now, if you know that you're going to die in a car crash, and someone who is having supernatural powers reveals that to you, is that something that you can change? Because you get in a situation where that is going to happen, so if you change it, that means the person who told you that it's going to happen was lying. Or, you know, it's a vicious circle that has no answer. But okay, let's say that you know that you're going to die in a car crash. Is it not frustrating to know that you can't change the future and one day you're going to be in that situation and that prophecy might fulfill? You're going to live your entire life with the fear that one day a car will run you over and that's it. Why do we need to know the future? Well, obviously, if we are told that we can know the future, then why do we need God? Why do we need to say that, oh, I trust God, that God will look after me, that God will be with me, if you already know what's going to happen? So we put God to the side and we trust supernatural forces more than we do God. And then we don't need God. And this way, by getting engaged with divination, we actually invite the forces of evil to come into our life, and we let them in forever. But you know what's interesting? I've always asked myself, if there were truly people who could tell the future, why don't they win the Euro Millions jackpot every week? I mean, I for one, if I would be able to tell the future, I would probably do that every week. So then that has to make some people think, do those people really tell the future? Then the third one, this is one of my favorites. We've got astrology. We either trust God or those who read in the stars, but we can't trust both. There is not much left to say about this topic, but let me share something. I am a Gemini, and I was looking while preparing this material to see what the stars have to say about me today. And the first one, astrology.com, is saying this: the urge to take yourself somewhere you've never been before will be strong, especially if you've got an equally spontaneous travel companion handy. And when don't you? It may not be a holiday, but you can always play hooky for a day and explore a little town a few miles away from you. Better yet, put your nose diligently to the grindstone for now and spend the evening immersed in a pile of brochures and maps with your cohort, of course. Did you understand anything? Well, I for one didn't. So, if I didn't understand the way they explained it, I said, let me look for another explanation, because if someone is going to read in the stars what is going to happen to me today, it must be the same message, right? I mean, the stars are not going to say something different to different people. So I was looking for another interpretation of the same thing. Another website, July 15th, 2017. Success on all levels is filling your life and making you feel absolutely wonderful, Gemini. The downside of this is that you might be a little too conscientious. Are you putting in a lot of extra hours? I am. Be discriminating about this and don't work harder than necessary. You could get stressed to the point of taxing your strength too much, and that won't help you. Pace yourself. Looking for guidance? Consult a spiritual advisor now. Did it have anything in common with the first one? No. I've done a bit of journalism, and I know that you have to check everything, every news from three sources. So I've done exactly the same thing. I went on a third website to see which one was right. And this one is saying, you are raring to go and all fired up today, but you may not know where to direct all of this extra energy, which can lead to impatience or impulsiveness. I don't have that energy. I have sleepless nights because I have a baby. You may get attention of the unwanted variety now. You are certainly attracting attention your way these days, and most of it is very positive, but right now there can be a rather provocative aura around you. The moon in Aries, however, is excellent for boosting friendships and for pushing you to pursue causes you believe in. There may be some resistance related to your love life today, but right now you need to be around people who don't have expectations or demands. Now, my wife was very nice to me all morning and all night, so no problems with my love life. Well, there's still time until tonight, and I don't need to be around people who don't have who have expectations or demands of me. I'm a pastor. I came to the church. I'm pastoring today. I can't say I came before people who don't have demands and expectations from me, right? Because you do. So, it doesn't fit. Three different readings in the same star or stars saying three completely different things, and still you have people who every single day, first thing they do when they open their eyes in the morning is to check their horoscope to see what's going to happen on the day.
Every single Gemini, they all read it.
Yeah.
The same one.
Yeah. Well, if I were to go by what the horoscope is saying, I should have run away from my wife because we don't match. Now, this might seem as another harmless activity, and it can be fun to see how different the readings are and how astrologists are charlatans. But first of all, there are people who take this seriously and believe that what the astrology says is indeed going to happen. Secondly, there are people who look at this as a fun 30 seconds, but 30 seconds today, 30 seconds tomorrow, 30 seconds the day after. Well, because of curiosity of knowing what the stars have for you today, it's an easy way to invite the demons over for a cup of tea inside your mind. Yeah, I got permission. Then we go over to the fourth category. Now this is, again, another one of my favorites. So, an enchanter. Someone who satanically endowed to produce seductive spells. I've got a religious example for this category that supersedes all other examples. Basically, the category here, enchanters, doesn't refer to men who know how to use words to enchant ladies. If that was the case, then my wife could confirm that I would be long time sentenced to go into the eternal fire. Yeah, because I can find my way around words. But no, this is not the case here. An enchanter is a person who uses chants for worship, and in the context of this passage, the chants must be occult-related. From the previous presentations, you might have learned that occultism is using repeated phrases to take control of the mind and actually deactivate the person who is repeating the same words again and again and again. And let me give you an idea of how Satan could use that principle and give it a Christian code to deceive those who have an open heart and can be abused by evil spirits. There is a place in France called Taizé. Have you heard of it? Well, this is a monastic order, and currently there are over 100 monks, but also it's one of the most visited places of pilgrimage in the world, in the Christian world. It was founded somewhere, I think 1940s, 1950s, by a Protestant believer, and the idea behind him founding this order of Taizé was to unite Christians from different backgrounds, different religious backgrounds, into worshipping God together. So now the 100 and something monks that live there throughout the year, they are both from Protestant background but also from Catholic background. And they live together and worship together there. And what's interesting, they use a type of worship that's repetitive. They take a phrase from the scripture and they put some music to it, and then they repeat it again and again and again, in the idea that the person who worships that way will focus on God and on what the words of the song are saying. Their main target are the youth, and over 100,000 young people go to Taizé every year to learn how to worship God in the Taizé style. Bible study, sharing and communal work, and also worship. It sounds like a great initiative. People from all denominations come together to worship in the Taizé style. Now, you might be wondering what Taizé style is. Well, Taizé is using chants. Those repetitive phrases are called chants that are actually coming from Eastern Orthodoxy. So see, you've got Catholic and Protestant monks worshipping in the Eastern Orthodox tradition. And whenever I hear all these different religious groups together, there's an alarm going off in my mind. Right, let me play you one of these chants, and I hope you're going to be able to hear it. Just for a minute. It's not this one. Basically, almost 4 minutes of repeating the same words. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. It's taken from the cross, when you've got the man who was crucified next to Jesus, who's asking for that. And the purpose of this chant is to help you get in a state of meditation and meditate at what that man was saying, and then what you would say to Jesus in the words of Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. All Taizé songs are singular sentences or phrases that get you in that state of meditating at the words that are being chanted so you can get closer to God. I don't know about you, but when I hear repetition, chant, meditation, ecumenism, I think about occultism disguised in Christian clothes more than actual worshipping of God. We get to another one. Witchcraft and witches. Again, it's not something found very often in Western culture, but you probably have heard about the witchcraft back home. Wherever we come from, that's not the Western culture, we've heard about witchcraft. But in the Western culture, we've only got this interesting character called Harry Potter, who tells everyone how being a witch is fun, and it's okay to play with magic and believe in magic. You don't go to the witch anymore, the witch comes to you through your TV. It's simple and easy. Then we've got charmers. A charmer is one who manipulates objects or beings via demonic power. That is something that is becoming more and more popular due to the TV shows that are dedicated to people who can manipulate objects, beings, and even the laws of nature. And it's another tool of Satan that looks harmless. After all, it's fun to see how a mentalist can tell you what you have drawn in another room without seeing it beforehand and without ever meeting you. We've then got consultant with familiar spirits, one who gleans knowledge from demonic contact, and we already know the dangers of it and how Saul went against God when he decided that he wants to know Samuel's position on the problems he was having. So he goes to seek out a person in Endor who can talk to the spirits and get him to talk to Samuel. And we know what happened and what was God's decision because of that, and how he lost everything in love. Then we've got wizards, which are practitioners of magical arts, and we've got necromancers, those who claim to be in contact with the dead. This had to be adapted for Britain. In the United States, it's still popular to go to seances and to those who can speak with the spirits, because Americans are being labeled by all the other 197 countries in the world as being more gullible than others. So anything goes in the States. But here in Britain, people question God, Satan, and anything related to that. So going to seances and to people who talk to the dead is not as popular here in Britain. So because of that, Satan won't concentrate all his efforts over the people in the United States. He has to find methods and adapt to the country he works in. So necromancers had to evolve as well. So here in Britain, we either adopt Buddhism or Hinduism and automatically believe in reincarnation and the possibility of connecting with other spirits, or we call talking to the spirits something that is deceitful and make shows about how the same mentalist that I mentioned earlier, Darren Brown, that they can replicate what those who consult with the spirits do, and it's all in your imagination, manipulation, etc. By doing this, the mentalist has exposed the fake and made you trust him as a point of reference and open your mind to whatever the mentalist wants to suggest to your subconscious. We still consult with the spirits, but it's more wireless now, and it can be done from the comfort of our living room. Now, many doubt that these presentations that Robin and I have given have any relevance, because we don't really believe in the existence of evil spirits in Britain in 2017. It was a thing of the past with all those exorcisms and spirit manifestations, but I am safe today because I don't believe in fairy tales anymore. But by saying this alone, we are a living proof that Satan works and he hides his identity while working hard right in front of us. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." So, who are we fighting with? We're not fighting with something that we see and we think it's common. We're fighting against the spiritual forces of evil. Now, for young people, Satan was really blessed when human beings invented smartphones and tablets. It made his life so much easier. It's amazing how children from a very young age get to wake up and go to sleep, not by praying with their parents, but by opening their eyes and asking if they can have the tablet or the phone. As soon as they get the tablet or smartphone, they either go on YouTube to see evil, they play music to hear evil, and they play games to do evil. It's all got to do with the occult. And as I said earlier, Satan must have been very pleased with this wonderful achievement of humankind. A few quotes on this. Video games producers are getting smarter. They lead you to sites where you can be instructed by a real-life occultist. You talk to hardcore people. Then, the magical occult practices of the ancients aren't just for the ancients. The spirits involved are eternal beings, and they are just as active today as they were 1,000 years ago, as is their worship. The toys children play with depict powerful creatures of the darkness. Now, games give explicit instruction in the rituals and methods of the occult. Indeed, gaming tournaments are prime time for occultists to find recruits with exceptional ability. Satan is not simply trying to draw people to the dark side of a good versus evil conflict. Actually, he's trying to eradicate the gap between himself and God, between good and evil altogether. And Ephesians 5:11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." Now, a former occultist, that is called only Peter to protect his identity, is saying this: "What I learned in secret is now everywhere." He goes on to explain how today's children and youth explore occult worlds and experience magical thrills that seem harmless. The lure of secret powers, especially when experienced through role-playing games that immerse players in mythical worlds and virtual experiences, stir obsessive curiosity about forbidden forces. And as they captivate their young fans, they fast erode the traditional values that build safe boundaries and broad warnings of danger. Peter was active in occult work for about 30 years. As an occultist, he was a temple master in the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn, best known for its infamous member, Aleister Crowley. You've heard about him, right? You know the previous presentations. Peter studied and mastered a number of other systems of ritual magic. I did everything God considers an abomination in Deuteronomy 18, he told me. Then he described the captivating power of role-playing games, one of today's most enticing pathways to spiritual bondage. "Are you familiar with aviation simulators?" he asked. "They simulate the inside of a cockpit in flying a plane. You can learn how to fly a plane in a flight simulator, but in a simulator there is no risk. All personal danger has been removed. When you play all the occult games out there, you're doing the exact same thing that you would be doing in a flight simulator. No risk. So, why not try the real thing?" Many players do. These kids are easily drawn into occult groups through role-playing tournaments, said Peter. When kids transition from simulation, when they actually experience the power that is available to them through the rituals they are learning to perform under the guise of fantasy, that power becomes like an addiction and they get hooked, but they don't see that. "I could walk up to any of these teens who showed promise, he continued, "and I could put my hand on their shoulder, look them in the eye and say, if you get a rush from this, how would you like to do it for real? No one has ever answered no. And indeed it was noticed that after playing video games that are violent and encourage the player to commit forbidden crimes, their character changed and many could not disconnect anymore from the game and became violent in school and showed all signs of corruption seen in the game they played. In fact, the most popular role-playing games blend fact and fantasy, myth and the history together into a virtual reality that stirs the imagination and implants its dark images in the minds of the players. I can give you an example. When I was, well, I was 9, 10, I used to play a lot of video games, and one of them was the famous GTA. It was Grand Theft Auto. It was the first versions of it. And I remember going to school, and obviously 9, 10 is the age when you like girls more than you used to before. And did you know what my biggest dream was? To get a machine gun like the one I had in Grand Theft Auto and actually kill all the boys in my city so I can be the most popular among the girls. And that thought troubled me for a good couple of months. Because indeed it's difficult to disconnect from the world that you live while playing. Because it empowers you, it gives you the abilities to do something that you wouldn't do in real life. And then when you stop playing, you're again powerless. So your dream is to become what you've been there while playing. A short history of the games that are today. So it started from pagans and witches practicing their rituals, teaching their false gods and devilish craft. Then Mr. Tolkien created his own world of witchcraft and pagan lore, the Lord of the Rings. Then from the Lord of the Rings, we get to the first game that actually used the same characters as the ones in the Lord of the Rings, which was Dungeons and Dragons. That was the fans of Tolkien's being able to experience their own adventures in witchcraft and lore. And then all the game makers admit that the games that children play today are all based on Dungeons and Dragons. It all started from there. All the characters, all the action, everything is coming from there. And we can see what the root is. And now technology allows programmers to bring the witchcraft and paganism to life. But there is a problem. Satan neither keeps his promises nor follows our rules. Behind all the tempting promises of worldly unity lurks a cold, heartless cruelty that few people in this world can imagine. But those who have heard or read about the Nazi concentration camps or bear the scars of torture in communist prisons understand the terror of a human nature trained and dominated by the forces of darkness. We spoke a while ago about this game, the Blue Whale, that is taking over the world, which started in Russia, and basically the person who created this game is making all those who enroll to play this game to commit suicide in 50 days. And in 2015, there were around 160 teenagers in Russia who committed suicide, driven by this game, The Blue Whale. But 2016 marked its spread across the world. So it's no longer just Russian children who are affected by it, it's also children from Great Britain, from Italy, from America, and other countries. And the way to enroll in this game, the way to sign up to this game, is just to write a comment on a blue whale, on an image like that one that you can see on the screen. Well, you can't see it the way I see it, but it's a bit darker here. But as soon as someone posts on Facebook this image, it means that on that day they're going to commit suicide. And then other children who see it, they write I want in as well. I want to play as well. And immediately they are being contacted by a supervisor. Someone who will make sure that they follow through all the tasks in the 50 days until they get to the end. And if at any point they want to stop playing, the supervisor will come up with all sorts of threats that range from personal threats to family threats and so on. So once you get in the game, there's no way out of it. After 50 days, that's it. And children get involved in this. They sign up willingly, knowing what's coming, to commit suicide. But for those who do not play the blue whale because they know better than taking on tasks that will ultimately lead to killing themselves, there are other games that are as harmful as the blue whale. There is one called Assassin's Creed, which has numerous occult symbols appear in this game, including the all-seeing eye, the pyramids, satanic pentagrams, and others. That and the main character you play through most of the game kills people for a living, but since that's sadly a staple for most video game characters, that's nowhere near as shocking as it probably should be. Again, Grand Theft Auto series, a great example of a game that actually removes all inhibitions in the player, and you can kill with different weapons, you can rob people, you can have intercourse with whomever you want, you can steal, as it enables you to go against any known rule of society. Then you've got the hundreds of MMORPG, which stands for Massively Multiplayer Online Role-Playing Game, that children can access on their phones. And there are hundreds of games like this where the aim is to construct the best empire, the best castle, the best country, and have an army where you can go and attack other countries, other players, and basically it's a jungle. And again, I was lured into that as well, and for about 14 months I was playing such a game on my mobile phone. Until I realized that I wasted all that time, but I didn't realize it at the time. Because that's what the occult world is doing. It lures you in, and then you've got no way out because you don't realize that you're being manipulated. Now, all you learn is to fight your way in life, magic rituals, magic characters, and you invest so much time doing that and allowing Satan to work inside your mind that if he would pay rent, then we'd all be millionaires from a very young age. But it's for fun. Why is it dangerous? Well, it's dangerous because video games educate. Every subtlety implies things that teach. It seems no one wants to admit it, but music, movies, videos, books, they're all part of education. And what you initially learn affects how you will view the world and the things in the world throughout your life. A child can learn that witchcraft is evil in the sight of God and later is more likely to depart from anything involved in witchcraft. A child can learn that witchcraft is beneficial and acceptable practice and later it is more likely to get involved in it or at the very least end up believing it's harmless. There is danger from movies, books and games because they lead people to join in the occult, as we've seen many testimonies on many websites and the presentations that we had today. But one of the biggest dangers is the conditioning that witchcraft is just harmless fun. Is idolatry harmless fun? Is drunkenness harmless fun? Is fornication, murder, theft harmless fun? The problem is that these authors and developers are helping to create a generation that becomes indifferent towards sin, because many games not only have loads of witchcraft, but they allow the player to murder, steal, fornicate, and get drunk. Now, adults might be saying that we don't do gaming. We are either at an age where a smartphone is out of bounds, or we have a smartphone just so we can make phone calls, and that's all we need, or we keep it to store photos, yeah? That's why we need a smartphone these days. But we are exposed to danger through occult objects in our house, in our car, or at the place of work. And that falls into the category of doing evil as well. What these objects do, what they're really meant to do, is create a false spiritual delusion and energize you in this delusion. And because these objects are accompanied by evil spirits, by allowing them in our lives, we actually open the door and invite the evil spirits in our lives, and they will come. Now, symptoms that something in your house is charged with an evil spirit include unsound mind, double mind, clouded mind, feeling of disorientation and vertigo, heaviness in certain rooms of the house, the feeling that you cannot connect with God, poor spiritual discernment. An example of items that are an open invitation for Satan to take over from the testimony of Stephen Bancars, a former New Age worshipper who has found God, got baptized, but felt like he was still connected with his previous life and spirits, until he decided to dig deeper and find what was still keeping the evil spirits in life, his house and his workplace. And his advice is to remove the following items from our lives. First of all, books. New Age books, esoteric books, Hindu books, Buddhist books, alien books, mysticism books, witchcraft books like Harry Potter, and so on. Galatians 5:20-22 says, "Idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Revelation 21:8, "But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the polluted, the murderers, the fornicators, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars, their place will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death." Then the second item Stephen is warning against are statues. Buddha statues, Hindu idols. It's amazing how in the last couple of years I've noticed that stores all across Britain are now having for sale all sorts of Buddha statues or Ganesh statues. For example, TK Maxx. Yeah, it's got nothing to do with Eastern culture, but you can't walk into a TK Maxx and go into the home section without seeing all sorts of Buddhas and Ganeshes of different sizes, different prices. And people buy them actually to have them as a decorative item. Yeah, you find them in the garden, you find them sometimes in the house if they're smaller. And people think they're harmless, they're fun. I'm decorating my house. Well, people put them in their gardens and their houses with no apparent intention other than having this extra decorative element, without realizing that it's either the start of their journey with the evil spirits or a confirmation of their actual spiritual state. Also, statues of dragons, fairies, elves, pagan gods, those African black traditional wooden statues, and so on. Then we've got pagan clothing items. A t-shirt with a yin-yang symbol seems to be a great item of clothing that I can wear without even wanting to send the message of peace through the symbol that that is represented on it. But it's actually just like a runway for planes. When I was working in the airport, every morning, every evening, or when it was foggy outside, the lights on the runway were turned on so planes knew exactly where the runway is and they can land there. Now, wearing clothing that has occult symbols on them is just like a runway for evil spirits. You're telling them, here, land here, land here, I'm here. Well, clothing with the all-seeing eye, witchcraft symbol or esoteric symbol, they have to be removed. Meditation materials. Any CD, book, leaflet that is pointing to meditation, chanting, and so on. Then tapestry or jewelry, dream catchers, movies, incense, pendants, anything like this. All these items open your spirit to being oppressed by evil spirits that come with them. There is no wonder that once the occult world takes over you, it's difficult to live according to the principles of God, and you find yourself in situations where you are a church Christian, but not a 24/7 Christian. It becomes more and more difficult to see the truth and listen to God's calling, because it's like having an extra set of blinds over your eyes. 4 verse 1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in later times some will renounce the faith by paying attention to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons." Yes, there is real evil in this world. There are terrorists with bombs, murders with guns, laws that take away our freedoms, and genuine economic difficulties. But always remember that evil and fear are really only happening out there and not in you. All the negative things that are happening out there are out of your control until we can control what's happening inside us. This starts with controlling our feelings and reactions to outside events. We have the power to change these events, and this power lies in changing ourselves. As such, we each possess immense power. Evil perpetuates itself like a cancer. Once you cut it out, you will kill the cancer. What we have to do is take the example of the people in Ephesus found in Acts 19. After the preaching and miracles of Paul, the people there started talking about Jesus. But when demons testify that only the power of Jesus can make them leave the humans they were possessing, we read a very interesting passage. Acts 19, verses 19 to 20. "Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed." When did the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed? Once they burned everything that they had that was connected to the occult. When the books that people kept in their houses, when the occult was burned from their midst as a statement that Satan is not welcome in their city anymore, that's when the word of the Lord could grow mightily and prevail. What is stopping us from seeing no evil, hearing no evil, and doing no evil? Whatever it is, we have to burn it straight away so we can actually hear God speaking to us and calling our name to ask us if we want to inherit eternal life.